Now, the last time that I preached in the book of Philippians, I considered the first two verses as an introduction. And we now come to the first major portion in the book of Philippians, that being from verse 3 through to verse 11. Now, these verses are a prayer of thanksgiving and request by the apostle for the believers at Philippi. This portion of scripture can be broken up into three larger portions. They being the apostle's praise in verses 3 to 6, the apostle's passion in verses 7 to 8, and the apostle's prayer in verses 9 through to 11. And in commencing our study of this passionate, heartfelt supplication this morning, we are going to consider verse 3 and verse 4 in a sermon that I have entitled, Praying Like an Apostle. So let's read the entire prayer. We'll read from verse 3 through to verse 11, and then we'll commit this time to the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, commence reading at verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning humbly, knowing that we are so unworthy to come before you, Father. Father, we want to hear from you this morning. I do pray that you would speak to us and through your Spirit. And I do trust that our hearts are soft, our minds are attentive, Lord, and we would be willing to apply your word where it needs to be applied this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. As believers, you and I are the beneficiaries of many glorious blessings, aren't we? Now, we have been redeemed from the slave market of sin. We have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are the sons of God. We are the recipients of eternal life. We are on our way to heaven. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But just to mention a few of the wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ. Another wonderful blessing that is ours also is one that is often neglected, and that is prayer. Have you ever paused and considered the true wonder of prayer? The fact that we mere mortals can communicate with the Creator of the universe, that God the Father would listen to what you and I have to say, that we mere worms can approach the throne of God. Think about that. Let that sink in. This is truly amazing. The hymn writer said it well, prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Oh, beloved, prayer is an amazing privilege, but how often this is something that we neglect. How often our prayer time is lacking severely. How often our prayers are poor. How often our words are empty. Now, prayer is probably one of the most neglected areas in the Christian life, yet it is of vital importance. We must never underestimate the significance of prayer, the power of prayer, and the priority that prayer should take in our lives. Now, anyone who has ever accomplished anything for the Lord was a man or woman of prayer. And this is no truer than of the Apostle Paul. He was certainly a man of prayer. And we have before us a truly wonderful portion of Scripture where the Apostle is pouring his heart out in prayer, expressing gratitude, joy, affection, longing, and love. It was the custom of the day to follow the greeting of a letter with a prayer. And Paul follows this particular custom. But what is significant with this prayer and with the various other prayers of the apostle is that it was not just some standard prayer. This was not just a cliche statement that he attached to a letter. But if we were to examine every prayer of the apostle at the beginning of his epistles, we would find that every prayer is heartfelt. And every prayer identifies either the strengths or the weaknesses of the particular congregation and what Paul is going to focus on within the forthcoming letter. So these prayers actually give you and I a unique glimpse into the private prayer life of the Apostle Paul. It is the beginning of this heartfelt prayer of the great apostle that will be the focus of the sermon this morning. We are going to consider four characteristics of the apostle's prayer that we would do well to imitate within our own prayer lives. The first characteristic is that it was a prayer of praise. A prayer of praise. The prayer begins in verse 3 with the verb, I thank. This is from Eucharisteo, from which where we get the English word Eucharist, a name that is often used to describe the Lord's table. A wonderful word. It means to give thanks, to be grateful, to express gratitude. This word is first used in the New Testament in connection with the feeding of the 4,000, where Jesus Christ took the food, he broke it, and gave thanks to the Father, expressing gratitude and gratefulness for what was provided. So we see that Paul's prayer begins with gratitude. He expresses his thanks unto God for the folk at Philippi. And the grounds, according to the text, for this giving thanks was remembrance. This remembrance could either be thanking God because the people remembered him, or that he thanked God when he remembered the believers, when he remembered their labor of love, their spiritual growth, the great blessings and joy that they had brought him. It could be either or both of these elements. What I do find remarkable as we get this unique glimpse into this personal prayer is that despite Paul's personal situation, he can still pray like this. We must remember the apostle is in a dire situation at this time. He has been arrested. He is imprisoned. He was going to face trial, could be put to death. This was his predicament. And I don't know about you, but if I was in this situation, I think my prayers would be a lot more selfish and filled with a lot less praise, but not the apostle. He's giving thanks for the graces wrought in the lives of others by God. Gratitude towards God is the chief focus of Paul as he pens this personal prayer. And what an amazing example. Now, to be focused on praise, to be focused on gratitude, you and I need to mould our own prayer lives on this example. Now, beginning with praise and expressing our thanks unto God is a wonderful place for our prayers to begin. For this attitude of thankfulness will help us to avoid selfishness, ungratefulness, and various other improper attitudes and motives as we pray. Yet how often this aspect of praise, this aspect of thankfulness is neglected? Now when we pray, we often pray like we are going through a Christmas list. God, this is what I want. Health, money, prosperity, a long life, happy and healthy family. And I suppose to make it spiritual, please make the church grow. Now how often our prayers are just a wish list? Now, it's not wrong to ask God to provide things for us. In fact, we will examine this aspect of prayer shortly. But it should not be the only aspect to our prayer. Our praying should include praise and thanksgiving. Now, we must remember that prayer is communicating with God. Now, as human beings, we hate it when someone only ever talks to us when they want something, don't we? Someone will never talk to us at all until they need our help. So why do the same thing with God? No, prayer is more than having our needs met. It is to include praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving. And honestly, when we think about it, it should not be that difficult to praise God and give thanks for what He has done, is it? Now, we can thank God for what He has done, creation and the cross, for what He's doing now, He's daily sustaining us, for what He's going to do. Jesus Christ will come back and take us to glory. We can praise Him for His character, for answered prayer, for the countless blessings that He pours upon us each and every day. And it is not tough to think of things that are worthy of praise. You know, beloved, we must possess this praise and thanksgiving in our prayers if we wish to pray like an apostle. You know, is this characteristic present in your prayer life? The second characteristic revealed is that it was a personal prayer. A personal prayer. And I wish to consider two aspects of this second characteristic. Notice, firstly, the use of the personal pronouns in both of these verses. Verse 3, it says, I thank. This is a first-person singular verb. Now, Timothy was included in verses 1 and 2, but not now. This is Paul's prayer and his alone. Personal pronoun is also used in verse 3. It says, my God. This is very personal. And notice who the prayer is directed towards. It's directed towards you, the believers. Another personal pronoun used in verse 3. Remembrance of you. And in verse 4, every prayer of mine for you. This prayer was focused on a group of particular individuals. And the continuous use of these personal pronouns reveals the true personal nature of prayer. No, prayer is meant to be personal. Prayer is your own thoughts, your desires. A prayer is not just to be some vain repetition or something that you read from a book, although some of those prayers have their place, particularly the Lord's Prayer. But prayer is meant to be personal communion with God, praying for the desires of your hearts, praying for the individuals in your life. But brethren, prayer is deeply personal. And this is revealed even clearer in the second aspect of the personal nature of prayer. Notice in verse 3 it says, my God. In the Greek it literally reads, to the God of me. The definite article, the, in the Greek, points out the uniqueness of God. Now, it was common practice in Greek to address the gods or gods of your culture at the beginning of a letter. But Paul makes it clear here that his prayer is directed to the one and only God, the God, God the Father, the creator of the universe, not to the various false deities. And this teaching that our prayer is to be directed to God the Father, not to a priest, not to saints, not to Mary or any other individual. Prayer is to be directed to God alone. And what I want to draw our particular attention to is the fact that Paul says, my God. Now, the use of the personal pronoun stresses a personal relationship. It signified deep and intimate communion. God to the apostle was not a distant, impersonal being. He was a living person who was directly and intimately involved in the affairs of the apostle. The apostle's prayer life was intimate, personal communion with God. And this is what the prayer life of the believer is meant to be. And when we pray, we are praying to God. We have direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but this is amazing. Now, our prayers are personal communion with God. Our God is not some distant, impersonal being who has absolutely nothing to do with us, but the complete opposite. We can have direct, intimate communication with our God. And I don't know about you, but this is exciting. You know, prayer is deeply personal and intimate. And this is a wonderful blessing that I fear we often take for granted. You know, we have direct access to the Creator of the universe. He actually listens to our prayers. Think about that. Grab hold of that. You know, this is an amazing truth. Brethren, our prayers are not just to be mere words uttered out of duty, but our prayers are personal, intimate communion with the all-powerful, almighty God, where we can pour out our hearts before Him and He will listen. This is prayer. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is personal. The third characteristic is that this was a prayer of petition. A prayer of petition. Within verse 4, after expressing his praise and gratitude for the believers in Philippi in verse 3, the apostle then focuses on the needs of the saints. In verse 4, the English word translated prayer and request is the same Greek word. It means to offer up petitions, supplications, requests, to ask or seek for something to be met. So Paul requests that the needs of the people be met. He's interceding before God on behalf of others. He came before the throne of God making requests for the saints. Now, from a careful study of the book of Philippians, it would be pretty safe to assume that these requests would have included protection from the trials that they were experiencing, peace in their concerns for the apostles' well-being, progress within the Christian life, this is clear in verses 9, 10, and 11, and prosperity because of the abundant generosity that they had bestowed. These would have formed the basis of the apostles' petitions. These were not vague requests, but very particular. And notice that the majority of these were spiritual, not materialistic in nature. I want to draw our attention to the scope of the petitioning. In verse 4 it says, "For you all." This prayer was inclusive. This prayer was not just offered up for those that Paul liked, those who he got on with, or just for the bishops and deacons, as identified in verse 1. But these prayers were offered for the entire congregation. You know, even those who were causing problems within the congregation. Later on we hear of two ladies who were at loggerheads. And they are included in this prayer. Now, the prayers of the apostle were totally indiscriminate. You know, a lesson for us all. Not just to pray for those we like or love, but to branch out further in the offering of petitions. And when we pray, this aspect of offering requests is probably the one that comes the most naturally, isn't it? Now, asking God to meet our needs is a good thing. Now, we should ask God. Ask small things, ask big things. I wonder how often we don't have because we fail to ask, as the Word of God makes so clear. And we need to present our petitions to God, to express the needs of our lives to Him. This is an important part to prayer. But notice in the Apostles' prayer, it was not his own needs, which were indeed many, but it was the needs of others. This was the priority. He was joyfully and faithfully interceding on the behalf of others. He was preoccupied with the needs and welfare of others, asking God to pour out his divine blessing upon them. And praying like Paul is selfless praying. Now, don't get me wrong, we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for our own needs, for our spiritual growth. We need to confess our sin. Praying for ourselves is imperative. But generally, this is not where we struggle. It's remembering others where we are often negligent, because we are all naturally selfish beings, because we are fallen in Adam. You know, we need to mimic the apostle and learn to intercede on behalf of others. Pray that the needs of other people would be met. Now, this is a vital characteristic of prayer. You know, it's so easy to become selfish in every area of life, and our prayer life is certainly not immune to this. But we must hold up others before the Lord if we wish to pray like Paul. The fourth characteristic is that it was a persistent prayer. A persistent prayer. In both of these verses, we can see that this praying was regular. So there are two indications in both verses as to the continuous nature of this praise and petitioning. In verse 3, the verb "I thank" is in the present tense, meaning this is a continuous action. Paul continually gave thanks. This was not a once-off action. This was not sporadic behavior, but a constant habit. Also, the adjective "every" in verse 3 denotes persistency. Every time he remembered them, he gave thanks, not just once or twice. Always is the first word of verse 4. This word denotes regularity. Whenever he remembered the Philippians, he prayed for them. He always remembered them in his regular prayer times. And the verb "making" in verse 4 is also in the present tense, once again showing a continuous action. He persistently presented petitions on their behalf. So we see that Paul regularly and constantly prayed for the believers. It doesn't mean that he spent every moment of every day praying for them, because this is an impossibility. But it teaches that Paul prayed regularly. He did not forget them. As often as he thought of them, he brought them to prayer. He was persistent in his prayer for the believers at Philippi. Now, what is staggering about the prayer life of the apostle is that this claim to persistently pray for a group of believers is not limited to the church at Philippi. Now, Paul told the Romans that he prayed for them unceasingly, Romans 1:9. He informed the Corinthians he was always thanking God for them, 1 Corinthians 1:4. He told the Ephesians he never stopped thanking God for them, Ephesians 1:16. He told the Colossians he was always praying for them, Colossians 1:3. He told the Thessalonians he was always making mention of them in his prayers, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. He told Timothy he prayed for him day and night, 2 Timothy 1:3. He told Philemon he made mention of him always in his prayers. Philemon, verse 4. So Paul was certainly a man of constant prayer. He was a prayer warrior with a very long prayer list. This man lived in a constant state of prayer. Now, Satan may have hindered Paul and kept him from going where he wanted to go during this imprisonment, but Satan could not stop Paul from praying. And his constant approaching the throne of grace was still inflicting much damage on the cause of Satan. Now, the apostle was certainly persistent in his prayers. He practiced what he preached to the church at Thessalonica, where he said, "Pray without ceasing." This was the attitude of the apostle. He lived in constant communion with God. And oh, how the apostle Paul rebukes our own sporadic and inconsistent prayer lives. We who struggle to give any time to prayer at all, we who are too busy to pray, we who, when we do pray, often don't pray from the heart. The persistency of Paul's prayer is worth imitating for each and every one of us. Now, beloved, we need to be in constant communion with God. We need to be persistent in our prayers for ourselves and others. If you and I wish to accomplish anything for the Lord, then we must be men and women of prayer. And much power is found in regular prayer. If we wish to pray like the apostle, we must be persistent. We must pray without ceasing. We have a wonderful example before us in the Apostle Paul. Apart from Jesus Christ, there probably isn't a greater example. Isn't it interesting that despite his privileged position, he was an apostle, despite his wonderful gifts, this man still spent much time in prayer. You know, he possessed a regular line of personal communication to God. If this was necessary for the greatest of the apostles, how much greater is the need for you and me, regular believers with regular gifts, to be men and women of prayer, to have constant, intimate communion with our God? Now, beloved, it is oh so vital that we understand the importance of prayer in our lives. I wonder how much power we are lacking. How many works and ministries are faltering? How many burdens we are bearing? How many blessings and opportunities we miss out on because of a lack of prayer? Now, we as a church and as individuals need to be praying regularly. We need to be praying without ceasing if we wish to do anything for the Lord. And one of the reasons the apostle was used so greatly was that he was a man of prayer. Now, you and I need to be in the daily habit of spending time with the Lord. Now, let me highlight the importance of prayer, why we should pray. Now, here's a few reasons from the Word of God. We should pray because it's commanded. We should pray because it relieves us of our cares. Prayer is the way to praise and give thanks to God. It is the way to intercede. It is the way to seek direction. It is the way that we confess sin. It is the way that we ask God for help. It is the way to receive salvation. It is vital in overcoming temptation. It gives power. It helps us in evangelizing. It's how we have our needs met. It's needed in spiritual growth. And it's how we have communion with God. Now, these are but some of the biblical reasons highlighting the necessity of prayer. Now, prayer is imperative in the life of the believer. Now, let me ask, how is your prayer life? How much time are you spending with God? Now, does prayer occupy an important part in your life? You know, I wonder how many battles we lose, how many blessings we miss, how many opportunities desert us, how stunted our spiritual growth becomes because we fail to spend enough time in prayer. In order to improve our prayer lives, both the quality, quantity, and substance, it is imperative that we truly comprehend what prayer is. If we get this, if we fully understand this, this grabs hold of us, it will change our prayer lives. And this is where we will finish. A prayer is personal communication with God. Remember that. We, through Jesus Christ, have direct access to God the Father, the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe. And we, you and me, the lowliest of beings, can communicate with God. This is truly amazing, isn't it? We can call God the Father our God and have a personal, intimate, sweet relationship with Him, have communion with Him. This is prayer. You know, prayer is indeed a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. You know, beloved, we can have personal interaction with God whenever we want. This is prayer. How amazing, how wonderful, what a precious gift that we in Christ can come boldly to the throne of grace, offer up our prayers and petitions to God, and He will listen to us. Let's be a church of prayer. Let's be individuals of prayer. Let's take advantage of this wonderful gift. If we truly comprehend the magnificence and the magnitude of prayer, then it will automatically occupy a preeminent place in our lives. Let's pray as the Apostle Paul prayed, and who knows what the Lord may do with us as a church and with us as individuals. Amen. Let's pray.